Hi there and welcome. This is Amanda, the founder of Astrology Hub, and you're listening to our Week Ahead Snapshot with world-class astrologer, historian, and author of The Cosmic Calendar, Christopher Renstrom. This show is designed to give you a quick overview of the week ahead, enabling you the gift of choice in how you navigate and weave these energies into your daily life. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Christopher Renstrom, and I'm your weekly horoscope columnist here on Astrology Hub. And this week, I wanted to talk to you about the Sun entering Sagittarius on November 21st. Now, I have a secret to confess. I love this time of year, when the Sun enters Sagittarius. It's such a wonderful and remarkable time of year and a very, very special time of year to me. Jupiter is the ruler of the zodiac sign of Sagittarius, and Jupiter was known as the king of the gods, the father of his dynasty that he sires and establishes on Mount Olympus. And what I always found curious and rather fascinating as I was studying astrology is that Jupiter is the ruler of the two signs that in the liturgical calendar are the times of year when we feel closest to God. Now I'm talking about the liturgical calendar here, but Sagittarius begins the day that the Sun enters Sagittarius is around the time that we begin to celebrate the season of Advent. And the season of Advent is what we celebrate in sort of the run-up to Christmas. And so Advent is connected to this feeling of expectation and awaiting the birth of Christ for Catholics and Christians everywhere. The other time of year in the liturgical calendar that Jupiter rules is connected to the zodiac sign of Pisces, the other sign that it is the ruler of. And it is around the time of the beginning of Pisces that we begin to celebrate the season of Lent, which is a season in which we withdraw into ourselves and reflect, and we prepare for a different type of birth. This time it's the rebirth, or rather the resurrection of Christ that comes in Easter. So Advent and Lent, Sagittarius and Pisces, these are the two times of year in which we are closest to God. And this is in the, these two times of year are connected to Sagittarius and Pisces, which are both ruled by Jupiter. And so I think it's very important to reflect on that. To me, that has a very great resonance, particularly this period of time of Sagittarius. Sagittarius also is the sign that rules the period of time when we celebrate Thanksgiving. And I know that Thanksgiving is probably under a lot of criticism these days, and should be because of what went on in history and at the beginning of our country. But at the same time, there's a beautiful tradition that is carried on into that particular holiday. I mean, if you look past Black Friday and the manic shopping and things like that, but it's this call to return home, this call to find home, this call to gather together and to shelter and to feed those who may not really have a place to go. For me, in New York City, when I had moved there, when I was just 18, and I began attending the Juilliard School of Drama, I was far away from home. I had been born and raised in California, and so Thanksgiving would come. I remember that first year, and I was so homesick. I was so absolutely homesick. I was 18, first time by myself in the city, learning acting with actors who aren't the most sensitive of creatures. No, I don't mean to say that, but I remember being invited to the home of a friend of mine at school, and his family basically welcoming me into their home to join them for Thanksgiving, and that has always stayed with me, and it's something that I try to continue still. It was later on that I discovered that Jupiter, who is named after the Greek god Zeus, kept sacred this tradition. And this tradition that I'm talking about is the tradition of guest friendship. Zeus is the Greek counterpart of the Roman god Jupiter, okay? And Zeus was basically the god of the polis, which meant the city-state, okay? So it was Zeus's job to govern over the welfare of the state, the welfare of the community of people that had been founded under this polis. And one of the things that, Jupiter is associated to governing and civic law and civic duty and the things that you do for the good of others in your city or the place where you live. Jupiter also was connected to the tradition of guest friendship in Greece. And guest friendship was this idea that if someone had been shipwrecked and washed upon your shores and you discovered this person, you know, one day on a morning walk or something like that, you didn't go and imprison this person or enslave this person or even offer this person up as human sacrifice. What you did is that you took this person in. You took this person into your home where you fed this person and you clothed this person and you gave this person shelter and haven. And indeed, Jupiter is a planet of shelters and haven. It's the planet of sanctuary, really. And so there was this idea that you took the stranger into your house and you clothe them and you help them get back on their feet, get their life back together. But it was also a two-way street. The stranger did not steal your silver in the middle of the night or run away with your wife or overstay their welcome. You know, the stranger would offer to help out around the home, teach you a custom or a tradition that you weren't familiar with, and the stranger made themselves available so that when it came the time to say goodbye to this guest friend, you were bound to each other through having spent this time together. And in some myths, this pays off later when the two people meet under very, very different circumstances and they recognize one another and one comes to the protection or the aid of another. But it was this idea of taking someone into your home that's so very, very important. And that is something that is also demonstrated in the beautiful myth by Ovid, which is told by Ovid in his Metamorphoses. And it is the story of Baucis and her husband, Philemon. Now, it was said at this time, Baucis and Philemon were a very old, very, very elderly couple who lived in this town and really didn't have much to show for themselves. Into this town one day, town of different dwellings and different economic caste systems and things like this, into the town one day come two beggars. One is a very sort of largish beggar, and the other one is very boyish and impish. And they come into this town and they knock on every door and they ask for alms. They ask for money, they ask for shelter, they ask for something in exchange. And the people of this town, and it's a particularly indifferent town, the people of this town are like, go away, or, you know, we have zoning laws, or what are you doing knocking at my door? And, you know, go away, beggar, go away, go away, go away. You know, we want nothing to do with you. So for these two beggars, the one very large and the other one very boy-like, they're turned away from every single door. And yet they continue their knocking on the doors and they're turned away, and maybe even a bucket of water or slops is thrown at them from outside the upper window. So they finally come to the humble abode of Baucis and Philemon. And they knock on the door, and Baucis and Philemon, who are an elderly couple, Baucis is the wife and her husband is Philemon. They open the door and they see these two beggars and they say, we haven't much to offer you, but will you come inside? And they're like, thank you. You know, we've knocked on every door and been rebuffed and rebuked and had slops thrown on us, and we would love to come inside. And they said, well, we don't really have much to offer you. I mean, we have some olives, which we're going to put in this bowl, and we have a little bit of wine, and that's about it. But, you know, we would love to visit and chat with you. And they do visit, and they do chat. And these two travelers, these two beggars, these travelers, people from other lands, they have a sort of faint foreign accent. They talk and visit with Bassus and Philemon, and they actually have a wonderful evening together, exchanging stories and asking about each other's lives and finding that they have certain interests in common. And they just really, the time goes by. Bassus and Philemon don't even notice that the time goes by. But Bassus actually notices that, you know, as they're eating, picking at the olives and drinking the wine, when she goes and she looks at the bowl of olives, the olives are as full as they were as when she first served them. And when she goes and looks at the pitcher of wine, the wine is as full as it was when they first served them. And hours have gone by, and somehow this bowl of olives has never been emptied, and this pitcher of wine has never been emptied. They've rather sort of miraculously replenished themselves. And that's when Bassus realizes it's a miracle, and that she's in the presence of two gods. And she goes and she whispers that very, very quickly to her husband, and her husband all of a sudden is like, oh my goodness. And they fall upon their knees. I mean, they know that these two people look like beggars and maybe even smell like beggars, but they fall upon their knees and they say, excuse us, your graces. And that is when they reveal themselves to be Zeus and Hermes, or Jupiter and Mercury. Now, Jupiter's been having a marvelous time. You have to remember that our word jovial comes from Jupiter. So he's like, oh, think nothing of it. I've had so much fun with you two. It's just been so marvelous. And Mercury was like, oh boy, you know, ever the gossip. Oh boy, you wouldn't believe how many doors were shut to us and how many people gave us airs and things like that. I mean, we were really beginning to wonder, like, you know, if we had lost our faith in humanity. You know, and Bassus and Philemon were like, well, we're humble or whatever, but we're glad that you came in here. Jupiter's like, no, you restored my faith in humanity. I'm so happy to have seen the two of you. You made me feel all kinds of wonderful. But all we had were olives and this simple thing of wine. Those were the best olives I ever had. And that wine was magnificent, you know, because that's Jupiter. They're always like the best and magnificent. Everything's in capital letters with huge exclamation points and bolded. Okay. So they're like, oh, you know, and Jupiter says to them, you know, my friends, I had such a lovely time in your company. I would like to grant you a favor. And they're like, a favor? And he's like, yes, a favor. Anything that you would ask for. What do you want? Do you want a villa? Do you want lots of money? I don't see any children around here. How about 43 children? How about if we get together 43 children and let's do something about your livestock and maybe some geese and rolling lands. And maybe you want some vineyards. Maybe that would be a marvel. Go ahead and ask whatever you want. I'm going to grant it to you. And at that moment, Bassus and Philemon, and they were older and in years, said, can we have a moment just to talk to each other? And he's like, go ahead. And so they sat down and they whispered to each other very anxiously and very, because when you're in the presence of gods, it's a little unnerving. Okay. And then so they said, okay, what are we going to ask for? What are we going to ask for? You know, and they discussed it among themselves, and Mercury's like, mm-hmm. And they came forward and they said, listen, this is what we would like to ask. My wife and I, this is Philemon talking, my wife and I have spent many, many happy hours together, many, many happy years together as man and wife. And Zeus is like, mm-hmm, yes, of course. We were married young and we've grown old together through the years in this same humble cottage. And Jupiter's like, mm-hmm, yes, yes, yes. This is what we ask. We ask them that when the hour comes, that when we are both taken away, the hour of our death, we ask that neither of us outlive the other, that I may never see the burial of my wife, and my wife will never see the burial of me. that she would never perform that office for me, that when the moment comes, that we will both depart together. And Jupiter took that in. And he said, yes, I can grant that. I will grant that. And they departed. And a few years went past. And as those years went past, they grew older and more in love with each other, more thankful for each other being in one another's lives. And they sat down and they were talking about that marvelous visit with those two strangers. And was it really Jupiter and Mercury? And well, it must have been, and how extraordinary that was. And Baucis turned to Philemon, and Philemon turned to Baucis, and they began to notice in one another that the bark of wood was beginning to creep over their body. It was all of a sudden the arms, you know, were being covered by bark, and the feet were growing roots, and this wood bark was beginning to go over their faces, and there were leaves and branches that were beginning to emerge. And at that moment, they clasped each other as the bark and the wood grew up over them, and the branches burst forward with leaves. They didn't even have a moment to cry out, I love you. In fact, their mouths were open to cry out, I love you, and can be still seen as gaping holes still in the sides of these two trees. These two trees that stand where they once stood, one is an oak and the other is a linden tree, and they are embraced around each other. And to this day, it was always said that the gods look after good people still, and that the cherishers are still cherished. That is something that I want you to keep in mind this November 21st as the sun enters the zodiac sign of Sagittarius to start off the Sagittarius season.
Are you looking for personalized guidance? Do you have questions about what you're meant to do and be in this lifetime? What you need in intimate relationships to really thrive? Or what major themes you'll be working with in the months to come? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you'll want to check out our personalized character and destiny and year ahead reports. These reports are perfect for you if you want professional insight into your astrology chart or year ahead. Written by internationally renowned astrologer, Adrienne Ross Duncan. Your character and destiny report provides deep insight into who you are and what you came here to do, your biggest strengths and challenges, and how your astrological design impacts your career and relationships. The Essential Year Ahead report gives you insights into the major themes you'll be exploring in your career, your love life, personal development, and much more. For only $37, you can get your personalized astrology report delivered straight to your inbox within minutes. Just go to astrologyhub.com/reports to get yours today. That's astrologyhub.com/reports.